So if you want to follow Pastor Rachel, you're going to go to the kids' space here and just have a bunch of fun. By the way, on your seats, did anybody see one of these things? All right, go ahead and grab it real quick. And just so you know, Levita and Tina are on their way. I think Tina's already in Washington, right? She's already there.
I think so.
I think I saw that on Facebook this morning. She's already there. I know that Levita's on her way down, and I know Kathy's going, and Amy's going down there. And they're getting ready to take a 48-hour trip to Madagascar. How many think that sounds like a lot of fun? Oh my goodness, yeah, it just sounds like a blast. And so we want to keep them in our prayers. Again, if you would please take the card home with you. Please put it in a place. Would you just join me in praying for them every day? They are going to be over in Madagascar. They'll be working in the city there with one of the local churches to train people to do a VBS, kind of like what we're doing here. And they're going to not only be training people, but then they're going to help launch and do this amazing VBS through the local church. And so if you would please keep them in prayer. And we'll keep you updated on how they're doing as they go through. So, all right, if you have your Bibles, turn to me, please, to Ezekiel chapter 1. And the good news is this. I probably won't preach terribly long.
Amen.
John, come on. Okay, that was not John's voice.
No, it wasn't.
Wow. So my throat feels a little scratchy, but that's okay. I think I'll get through all of this, so this will be good. And we started this series last week because it's our summer series, and I was trying to come up with something kind of fun and creative, something that kind of, you go, maybe you weren't here last week, you don't have to be here last week to understand this week, so you don't have to be here next week to understand this week. It's like, we're just sharing these ideas. And this is our series theme, which is Top 40 Theology. It is a mashup of Top 40 and theology. Now, how many of you are, you're still Top 40 kind of people? You listen, you know, Casey Kasem, American Top 40, and I know that he's not with us anymore. So I think he was also the voice I heard this week of Shaggy in Scooby-Doo. So I was like, oh yeah, that's Casey Kasem. He also was, I believe, Mark on the cartoon Battle of the Planets. How many remember that one?
Oh yeah.
Okay, a few of us. Dude, that is, if you haven't seen it, man, it is the favorite cartoon as a kid. Anyway, totally different story. But what we do is we take a song, and you know, because we all love our music, and we take a song, and then we say, okay, so let's kind of like think through some things. So today's song, you ready for today's song? This is your opportunity to guess what the song is. This is a song that is a reflection on broken promises. Right? How many love a good song on broken promises? Now, just so you know, this is not a country western song. I mean, every country western song is a little depressing. Just so you know, it's not just country music that does that. Not all. I know not all of them. I know we can. Oh, touched a nerve on that one. But anyways, this is a song that's a reflection on broken promises when life doesn't go as expected. Just so you know, this song was a number one hit. It was the debut single of this artist's seventh studio album. I would tell you the name of it, but I think that may give it away for some, but I'll tell you it. The name of the album was this, Beautiful Trauma. How many think that you're like, well, that's probably not what I was into. Beautiful Trauma. It was number one on the adult pop charts in America and in eight other countries, and was nominated for the Best Pop Solo Performance at the 60th Annual Grammy Awards. Maybe if I tell you the first line of the song, you'll know it.
What year?
2018. Yeah. And in 2017, 2018. Okay, ready? This is the first line. Ready for the first line? See if you can name the song after the first line. Here it is. Ready? La da 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 da. La da 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 da. I got them all. How many know what song I'm talking about? Are you serious? Yeah, I wouldn't guess it from that line anyways. I'll tell you what the chorus is. Maybe you've heard the chorus. Maybe you remember the chorus. This is the way the chorus goes. Ready for it? What about us? What about all the times you said you had the answers? How many know the song now? Some of you are singing along. What about us? What about what about all the broken, happily ever afters? What about us? What about all the plans that ended in disaster? What about love? What about trust? What about us? Anybody know who the artist is, by the way? Come on, Olivia, who is it? Anybody know who the artist is? The artist is, you know it, who is it, Scott? Pink. Her name is Pink, right? That's the artist's Pink. From Beautiful Trauma. And she sings this song, and just, you know, this is a super angsty song. You know what I'm talking about, angst, right? Like, it's the stuff where you go through life, and like, going, oh my goodness, it just kind of, you kind of feel it here. And so, today I want to kind of use this kind of as a springboard to talk about a theological idea. And this is, you ready for my title? It's not Beautiful Trauma, bless the Lord. But it's this, it's past disorientation. How many know that sometimes in life we just have to learn to get beyond something? Like, you ever have moments in life and you're like going along, you're like, dude, it feels like it may be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, but the person in front of you thinks it's a Sunday drop. Can I get a witness on this one? And you're on a windy road and you're waiting for an opportunity to pass. Because how many of you know Sunday drivers are the worst drivers?
Oh, yeah.
Right? They're going way too slow.
Yep.
And it feels as though you're in a place where you're driving and the person in front of you is going way slower than you want. It's not, you're not getting to the destination. And all of a sudden, it becomes an emotional event. How many know slow drivers can create emotional events? Right? Raises blood pressure. Sometimes you just want to say things. Because you're like, there's a place I'm trying to get to, and I don't seem to be getting there. And you feel a little angsty. Hey, let me ask you this morning. How many here in life ever had those moments where you feel a little angsty? Not because you're driving, but because there's a place you believe that you need to be getting to, and the road you're on, there's something that's in front of you that's slowing you down, and it's causing this cry out, hey, what's going on? Where am I? And it's this disorientation. And again, disorientation becomes, when we experience things that disorient us, it becomes a deeply emotional experience. Like, we feel it. Like, we feel it when our relationships aren't going like they're not, like they're supposed to. Like, we feel it when our jobs aren't like, it's not working out. Like, we feel it. And all of a sudden, that disorientation causes us to just begin to ask a whole lot of questions. And this kind of angsty feeling is kind of like the foundation of the song. What about us? What about us? This morning, as we think about this idea of getting past disorientation, my big idea is simply this, that God's grace meets us in our mess to gift us a new perspective. That God meets us in our mess, because let me tell you, when things are disoriented, it makes it feel like a mess. So I was a youth pastor. Well, actually, before I was a youth pastor, I've always worked with youth when I was younger and stuff like that. And after I graduated high school, I helped my youth group, my high school Christian club, and I'd come back and do different things. And so one of these days, we would play a game. And this is a fun game. We can play this afterwards, because these are fun games. We would take a broom handle, a broomstick. And what we would do is we would have people stand and look up at the heavens, put a broomstick on their chin, spin around 30 times. They had to do it within 60 seconds, and then put the broomstick down, and then step over it once, and then step over it twice. And you had to do this all within 60 seconds. And so this, I want you to know, I was like, dude, if you can do this, we'll give you 10 bucks. And so I would throw around cash on this book because it's so much fun to watch. It's like, I mean, you know, you pay money to go watch something that's good. And so I would watch people, because you watch kids try this, and they look up and they start spinning and spinning and spinning. I mean, you know, you get to an age where spinning is just not fun anymore. Right? And you watch these kids as they look up and they start spinning, 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 and they put it down. And their equilibrium is so off that when they go to step over something, it's as if the whole world is tilted this way and they just start doing, it's so much fun and totally wiped out because they've been disoriented. Oh, they get really dizzy. It's so much fun. Like I said, we can try this later. And I think it'd be fun to watch some of the adult students. Starting with someone other than me. Come on, don't put it on me, man. But this whole idea of disorientation, because again, I think there are times we experience things in life that all of a sudden it just gets us reeling. And it doesn't seem as though we can move in straight lines. It doesn't seem like things are coordinated. And things just kind of go cattywampus on us. And I want to look at a biblical character, and his name is Ezekiel. Because I think Ezekiel knows what it's like to be disoriented. Because, number one, he's human, and also because he ended up in a place he never thought he belonged. And so I'm just going to read three verses, and I'm just going to bring out a couple ideas. And I think this is good, because even for those, I know just in a few minutes, we're going to baptize some people. And baptism is this declaration that we're making to a watching world that we're choosing to follow Jesus. And sometimes as we make decisions to follow Jesus, we have an anticipation or expectation of how it's going to go. But let me just tell you, how many know life doesn't go as you think it's going to go?
Oh, yeah.
And so how do you manage these things? And so I want to read this passage, and I think this is a great passage. And if I had time, I'd take you a whole bunch of Ezekiel, but we don't. And so this is what it says, beginning in verse 1. Ezekiel 1:1. In my 30th year, in the fourth month on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kebar River, the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. On the fifth of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiakim. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, by the Kebar River in the land of the Babylonians. There, the hand of the Lord was on him. Okay, so I know that as I begin, this is kind of like a really, you're like, everybody can read it, they're like, okay, this looks like a beginning of some kind. The thing that you have to understand about this beginning is actually this beginning begins in a world of disorientation. Because how many know that sometimes we find ourselves in places we never intended? Like we find ourselves in places that when we set out our plan of how life is going to go, this was not the kind of situation we were imagining or the thing we were wanting. We end up in places that we never intended. And just so you know, Ezekiel in this passage is in a place he never wanted to be in. So as we read this passage, you have to understand, this passage is filled with angsty emotion simply because he's in a place he never wanted to be. And so as the account of Ezekiel begins, he's actually by a river. He's in a foreign land. He's without a temple. And he's in a priestly line. So there's all these things going on. So number one, he is by a river in a land that's not his home. How many of you love going on vacation? But how many of you look forward to coming home to your own bed? Can I get a witness on this one? Oh man, it's my pillow. It's my bed. It's like I can sleep here. I can rest here. Like vacation is fun. But you know what? There's just something about home. Can you imagine that you were at home and all of a sudden you're just taking thousands of miles away? Not because you wanted to go there on vacation, but because life has happened in such a way that you've got caught up in the current of life, and you're in a place that you never imagined. And you just got to just keep in mind, oh my goodness, this is like one of those things where you're spinning around and you're just like, I can't even get my bearings in this place. He's in a foreign land. And then on top of it, we'll find out that he's a priest. And as a priest, he has a role at the temple. But how many know that if you're in a foreign land, what you thought your life was going to be isn't going to be the thing you thought it was going to be? And it's kind of interesting because it begins by saying this, in my 30th year, I remember turning 30. Yeah, like some of you are like, 30. How many remember turning 40?
Yep.
Okay, let me ask you this. At what year did you have an angsty birthday? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you are like, I haven't had one yet. Yet. But you know what? You know what I'm talking about. So I was talking with someone a few weeks ago. I hadn't seen him in a while. And, you know, I'm like, hey, so good to see you. And we're just talking back and forth. And it's like, hey, how can I be praying for you? And he's like, going, dude, man, in just a few days, I'm turning 38. And I'm not married. And I've been through all of this stuff. And, you know, I just, man, this thing is just, like, half my life is gone. And you're like going, yeah, buddy. I mean, how many of you know the angsty 38s? Just, you know, that kind of angsty birthday was what Ezekiel was experiencing with his year. Because did you know that for a priest to serve in the temple, there was a time frame when they would begin serving and when they would stop serving. They would actually begin service in the temple when they turned 30 years old. And so it's kind of like you were waiting, and I'm almost there, and all of a sudden now you're taken away, and you didn't get a chance to experience the thing you were waiting for. I remember, we took a few years ago, we went to Disney World. I got to always remember it was the World of Land, because I got to look, it's the O-R or the L-A. So O-R is Orlando, if I remember correct. Disney World. And one of my favorite rides at Disney World is Splash Mountain, which they decided that they're going to change. And so now they changed it. But we were there, and my family got in line. How many been to Disney? How many know that when you get in line, it's an investment? Can I get away with on this one? Like, you're just not like hanging out, you know, like it's like 100 degrees. Because we've gone in August. How many know best time to be in Orlando at Disney is in August?
No.
Standing in the baking sun. Bless the Lord, right? And so we go through the entire line that's just snaking all the way up to the ride. And you know, as you get closer to the line, there's those little rails that you can stand between because you know you're going to get into the next car and you're going to get in the seats, and that's the line we were in. We were at the front of the line. We were ready for all this amazing fun, and all of a sudden they're like, going, you know, we actually have to shut this ride down. It's broken. You're like going, good Lord. We were waiting because we wanted Matt to experience it. Matt has not experienced Splash Mountain. Pray for him. He's just in therapy right now. But you're waiting and waiting and waiting. You get to the front and you can almost see it. You can almost sense it. You're almost feeling like you're stepping into your destiny. And all of a sudden it's like going, you know what? The whole thing shut down. And I think that's how a lot of people go through life. You're just on the edge of something. And then something doesn't go as intended. And all of a sudden, it just disorients us because we're moving in this direction. Our life had purpose, it had meaning, it had direction. I know what's going on, and now it's gone. And you're just trying to figure out, how do I find my way forward? You know, there's a number of things that happen. How do you know if you're experiencing a little bit of disorientation? I'll tell you a couple of ways to know if you're dealing with disorientation. One is you actually begin to experience disillusionment. And that is you begin to look at things and all of a sudden that thing you thought was good before all of a sudden begins to sour in your own eyes. Like the thing that you were hoping for, you're like, oh, this is going to be so great. All of a sudden in your eyes, it's just like going, you know what? I don't want that. Like, you've met people, I know you've met people who are in relationships, who are like going, oh, this is the greatest thing ever, and then life happens. They're like going, you know, I don't need anybody. There are people who, when it comes to faith in God, they're like going, you know, he's my hope, he's my savior, he's everything I need, and then something happens, and you're like going, this God stuff, I don't need it. song, they looked at the beginning. This is actually the birth of the song, is the idea that things aren't going as expected. I thought there was going to be this and this and this, and now it's not here. What about us? And some of you, you're dealing with incredible disillusionment, sometimes with church, sometimes with people, relationships, because you're in a place you never intended, and everything seems to be kicked out from underneath you. And I wish I had time, because I got this really good thought. I'll probably come back to it, which deals with the kind of world that we're in. Because sometimes we experience incredible pain. Like, my heart has been breaking the last day and change. Just watching all the stuff that happened in Texas with innocence. Kids going to a camp. Parents bringing kids to a camp. And then you watch. Like, just if you want to know what crazy is, if you're thinking, because they're saying, like, the water came up because there were the storms and the floods and stuff like that. And the water came up in 45 minutes, went up 26 feet. If you want a sense of how fast or how deep 26 feet is, after service today, just walk around to the back of the closet and look up, because from the base to the peak is 27 feet. And it went up that much in 45 minutes. And lives were just claimed in a moment. How many know that's the kind of stuff that we're disoriented with? And the question then begins to arise, because you know the question. God, where are you in this? God, where are you? Because sometimes in life we experience things and all of a sudden it wrecks us. And there's disillusionment. There's discouragement. Our hearts are just like, okay, God, where are you? And just so you know, this is the space that Ezekiel is occupying, because it's his 30th birthday, or his 30th year. He's in line to start the thing he's been waiting for. And now he's taken away. He's in a foreign land, in a foreign place. And it's just like, this isn't where I want to be. I want you to know disorientation is not new for God's people. Actually, there's this guy named Walter Brueggemann. He's a theologian. And he looks at the Psalms and he says, when you read the Psalms, you'll find out that there's three types of Psalms. There's a Psalm of orientation, which is the way things ought to be. Like, how many know we all go through a life where we have an orientation where we think this is the way it ought to be? How many know if you do good things, you should get good things back? How many got that orientation? How many used to have that one? Like, that's an orientation. Like, if I go to church and I pay my tithe, if I love Jesus, if I read my Bible, then good things will happen to me. How many know that's an orientation? So there are psalms of orientation. So Psalm 1 is a beautiful example. Where it talks about, hey, if you'll follow Jesus, you'll be like a tree planted by streams of living waters, whose leaf does not wither, who bears its fruit in season. Whatever they do, prosper. How many of you just want your life to prosper? You're like, yes, that's an orientation. If I do this, then I'll get this. But there aren't just psalms of orientation, there's psalms of disorientation where everything doesn't go as expected. And I say, how many of you think if I do the good thing happens and we have that orientation? And some of us were a little more jaded now going, you can do the right thing, but how many know doing the right thing doesn't mean you're going to experience the right thing? Can I get away with this on this one? These are all the jaded people that have experienced disorientation. Or we're in those moments like, okay, God, where are you in the midst of this? And just so you know, there are lots of psalms of disorientation, because this is what people experience and this is what people deal with. And I want you to know, God is not overwhelmed by our disorientation. He actually makes space in the canon of Scripture so that we can wrestle with the places that we find ourselves in. The third type of psalm. So there's psalms of orientation, disorientation, and the third one is a new orientation. And that is, as you go through something, all of a sudden it begins to change. Like, how many of you, you've been through some awful things, and you didn't like one thing about that awful thing, but you're a better person because you went through that awful thing. How many people in the room have done that? And all of a sudden, you got through it, and all of a sudden, you have a new orientation about how you go through this. And I want you to know that you may be in a place of disorientation, but God's gift to you is actually to help you get through it and to give you a new orientation. Again, we find ourselves in places we didn't desire. The second thing I want to note from this passage, you're like, this is only the second. Don't worry, it gets faster from here. The second thing is this, is that God knows where we are, and he wants to reveal himself to us. It was while Ezekiel was in a foreign land, in a foreign place, feeling all this disorientation, that it says this, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions God. Like the heavens were open. We don't have time to go through all of Ezekiel chapter 1, but if you read through Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel begins to have this grand vision of who God is. And some of the ideas and themes get carried into the New Testament, even in the book of Revelation. You see, what Ezekiel ultimately needed in his disorientation was a new perspective of God. And I just want you to know, you may be in a place where you're wrestling with some disorientation in your life, and my prayer is that God's grace would meet you to help bring you through it. And I think one of the things that you need to get through this stuff is you actually need a new vision of who God is. I'm convinced of this, that our understanding of God needs to grow with our faith. Like, as kids, we have ideas of who God is. I grew up in church, and so I grew up with hearing all the stories, and I thought I knew who God was. Then I go through life, and I know a little bit better of who God is. But I don't still know all of who God is. And there's a growing that God longs to reveal himself to us, even in the midst of our disorientation. You see, God is greater than we imagine. Now, many of us, what we would like to do is we would like to keep God in a box. How many would like to keep God simple? How many know God is anything but simple? Like, he's complex. But boy, would we like to have God in a box so that we can, like, manage him. You know what's great about boxes? Got a whole bunch up here. How many know they're really convenient to put stuff in so you can move it around, take it with you? It sits nicely. Like, it's nice to have a little box. So some of you in your homes, you've got boxes because you know what? It's easier to put stuff in a box because you can manage that rather than sometimes having to manage with what's in the box. How many of you got boxes you haven't unpacked yet? And you moved like 20-some years ago and you're like, they're still here because you're like, I just don't know what to do with them yet. And this is what people love to do with God. They love to put God in a little box and say, I've got God figured out. How many know we don't always get to figure out who God is? Isaiah tells us this, that his ways are above our ways. His thoughts above our thoughts. Like, just when you think you've got God figured out, yeah, he may just surprise you. Because we can't begin to comprehend who God is in his greatness. And this is why in the midst of your disorientation, some of you are a little disillusioned with God. And that's okay. What you need is actually a bigger view of who God is. You see, even while Ezekiel was at the Kabar River, God showed himself that God hadn't forgotten him. God hadn't abandoned him. Even though he felt like his purpose was done, hey, the reason the book is called Ezekiel is because he, in a sense, has a change of profession. He goes from being a priest, and now he gets to serve God's people as a prophet. God says, listen, I have purpose for you even through the disorientation. You see, what every one of us needs in the midst of our disorientation is a new understanding of who God is. Moses. I remember Moses, dealt with God's people making pull out your hair I used to have a full head of hair, but now I deal with God's people. I'm just kidding. You guys are so easy to work with. It's not even funny. But one time, Moses was having this rough time. He was dealing with this disorientation. God was like, hey, hard to have these people too. It's just a fun story. And Moses was like, hey, God, if you don't go with us, don't send us up from here. We just need your presence. And God says, okay, I'll go with you. And then Moses prays this amazing prayer. It's a simple prayer. And his prayer was simply this, God, just show me your glory. God, show me something of yourself in this place. And can I just tell you that if you're in the midst of disorientation, can I just challenge you with a simple little prayer to pray? God, even in this place, would you show me your glory? God, would you show me your goodness? God, would you show me your presence, your nearness, your kindness? Lord, would you begin to show me even in this place? I think this is a great prayer for disorientation. God, help me see who you are in this situation. Give me a new perspective. It's Jeremiah that will say this, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you. I just want you to know God wants to show himself to you even in the midst of your disorientation. You want to know an amazing idea? This is a great idea. If you're taking notes, this is a good one. If you're not taking notes, you can write this down. This is really good. You might want to put it on your phone. You are one picture away from a new perspective. You are one picture away from a new perspective. Ezekiel is overwhelmed by his circumstance. And God says, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you who I am. And that one picture changed everything. See, some of you, you're in the midst of your disorientation, and you're thinking, you know, what it's going to take to change all of this? It's going to take this. And we mount up so many big things that need to take place in order for us to get through the disorientation. And God's like, actually, what you need is you just need one picture of who I am. If you can see me differently, if you can see my heart for you, if you can see my heart for this situation, let me tell you, your situation may not change, but I'll bring you through. Which leads me to the last point, that God's hand is not too short to reach us. I love what it says in verse 3. Here he is in a foreign land, in a foreign place, in a place where, man, his expectation, his disorientation, his disappointment, his disillusionment, all these things. And it says this, there the hand of the Lord was upon him. I want you to know this morning that the hand of God is not too short to reach you where you're at right now. His hand is not too short. This is why I say God's grace meets us in our mess to give us a new perspective. I want to invite the worship team to come as we get ready to close. How do we get past disorientation? First thing you need to do is you need to be okay with disorientation. And by okay, I'm not saying you have to love it, like it. But you have to be okay that, you know what, there are times in life you're going to find yourself in places that you never intended to be. It's part of the human experience. It's a part of the journey of faith. God knows us. He knows our tendencies. And some of you, you're going through some difficulties and some trials, and they seem so huge and overwhelming. And I know they are. And it's okay. It's okay that you're overwhelmed. It's okay that it's too big for you. Because he's still there. And so I would just say this, if you're just kind of thrashing around trying to find your footing, your bearing, whatever it is, hey, it's okay. It's okay. God's not done yet. And what we need to learn to do in the midst of our disorientation is simply call out to God. and say, God, would you just show me your glory? Help me see you in the midst of the mess. To have a heart that will choose to seek him, to not give up or to give in. For he's present. So I told you the prayer is simply this, show me your glory. Isaiah will say this, the whole earth is filled with your glory. I just want to encourage your heart with this, because even where you're at right now, I want you to know the goodness of God is present. It may not be the thing that you wanted, you may not be in the place you want to be. I hear that. There's so many times, man, you get a little angsty. I get angsty. But I want you to know his glory is all around us. He hasn't forgotten you, and he hasn't abandoned you. Even though your life may not be exactly where you think it ought to be or where it should be, I want you to know that God loves to meet you just right where you're at. And what we need to do is call out. Aren't you grateful that God has good for us, even in ungood places? And you may not be in a good place right now. I want you to know God cares about you. And he is good for us, even in ungood places. And what we need to do is not only be okay with this orientation, call out to God, but we need to allow his presence to strengthen us. The thing about this little passage that I read, the revelation of God did not change Ezekiel's circumstances. Okay, so let me tell you my frustration as a pastor. I never got the magic wand. You know the magic wand? You wave it, and you make everything better. I was hoping, man, when I got my credentials and I became a pastor, they would have gifted me a wand. How many would love your pastor to have a wand? You're like, something like, oh, dude, that's like way too much power for one person. You don't trust me? No. But boy, would we love that wand, right? Because then you just say, oh, pastor, I am dealing with this disorientation. Would you just wave the wand? And I'd be like, oh, for you? Absolutely. And I would. I turned some of you into a frog. That is correct. I know what your problem is. You're too tall. Poof. Not green enough. Poof. But boy, would I love as a pastor, as an ambassador of God to a broken world, I would so love the ability, capacity to wave a wand and change everything. And they didn't give it to me. It was a little disorienting. But I'll tell you what I've come to know. Is that the picture of God, the thing that God wants to do for us isn't always about changing our circumstances. It's really about changing us. It's about changing us. The revelation of God did not change Ezekiel's circumstance, but it changed him. I want you to know his presence and his working in your life may not change your mess. But his presence can change you in the mess. And that's the gift he offers us. Sometimes in his grace he does change everything. And I love when he does that. But sometimes he just changes me. So I want you to know that God's grace meets us in our mess to give us a new perspective. You're just one picture away from a new perspective. God has not forgotten or abandoned you. We find ourselves in places we didn't intend. But God knows where we are, and He wants to reveal Himself to us. His hand is not too short to reach us. My prayer is that we would allow His hand to change us in the midst of all that we go through. So let's bow our heads, Father. Lord, I thank you that you are here with us, even in this place. In the midst of our circumstances, Lord, I know that there are times that the hopes, the dreams, the plans, the purposes that we thought were going to take place in our lives, God, we invested so much emotion into it, and God, we're not there. And God, that disorientation has disillusioned us. We've written off relationships, written off opportunities, become a little cynical. And God, we just come today because, Lord, we actually need grace for our hearts. We need grace for our circumstances. And Lord Jesus, this is why you came. And I thank you that your presence is with us and your arm is not too short to save. So God, I'm asking for your presence to meet us in the midst of our mess and to gift us a new perspective. Lord, would you show us your glory? Would you help us see who you are? Just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many of you just simply say, you know what? Man, I've been going through things, and you just feel like you're in a season of disorientation. Man, there have been events that have happened. There have been things that are going on, and it's just kind of, man, it's thrown you. And you're just like, you know what? I just need God's grace to meet my heart this morning. If that's you, would you just lift your hand? Because I want to pray with you. See that hand and that one and that one. Those, oh my goodness, see all these hands. You can put them down. Is there anyone else? See, I think the way everything begins to change is when we begin to change our relation with God. And it begins just acknowledging that God needs you. And maybe you're in this place and you've never made a decision to follow God, to ask Jesus to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, to help you start all over. Maybe you've never done that before. And you're just saying, you know what? I need God's grace to meet me now. I need a new beginning. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Because I want to pray with you as well. See that one. Is there anyone else? Lord Jesus, I pray right now for every person that's raised their hand in this place. Lord, I thank you for a love and a grace and a mercy that meets us right where we're at. Lord, you see every hand that has been raised. You see every mess. You see the disorientation. You see the frustration. You see the emotion. And God, I just ask that your blessing and your grace would meet and touch and change. God, I just pray that you would show your glory to your people. In Jesus' name.